In a way, aren't we all Spartacus?
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell.
Yo, Steve, what's up?
Hey, man. Just sitting here in front of the computer, same as literally every other day. Mm-hmm. How about you?
I'm good. Off air, we were just talking about long Zoom calls that we've had in recent memory, and I had one on Tuesday that was an hour, and that was fairly. How do I put this nicely? It was boring and dragged. And you've been on a long call today. You can beat that, an hour and a half.
Yeah, that was the thing is, though, that was a phone call today. And I, you know, call me retro, but I'm embracing the return to phone calls. Mm-hmm.
Was it like a conference call?
No, it's just a one-on-one.
Oh, one-on-one.
I got to put my earbuds in and just sort of, you know, I'm sort of not locked to the screen, which is quite nice. Mm-hmm. I reckon that's one of the really tiring things about Zoom is it's like, checking everyone out is checking you out.
Making sure that your mic is off.
Not in a hot way, just in a normal human way.
Yeah.
Pinning.
Yeah, but there has been time to watch things as well. And, you know, with news that the Auckland border will be opening in about a month's time and we'll be able to travel, what better time than to watch a new TV show that centres around what happens after a plane crash. I think, you know, if we haven't flown, some of us haven't flown for a little while,
mm-hmm.
So now it's time to start getting that white-knuckle, that white-knuckle fear reintroduced into our systems.
I was flicking through one of the, maybe it was Neon or Netflix, where is this one living?
So this show's called Yellow Jacket.
Yep.
It's just started on Neon as of last night, and there's some kind of familiarity to it. Like, I don't think they're necessarily reinventing the wheel, but it's kind of a really nice mix of things jumbled together here. Across two timelines, it tells the story of a group of female high school soccer players. I wouldn't say footballers because that's correct, but that would mm-hmm. confuse people, and they'll think we're talking about American football.
Yes.
So high school soccer players, and their plane crashes, and they get stranded in the wilderness for an as-yet undefined amount of time. But in tandem with that storyline, the show also follows the same characters as adults 20 years later.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, it would seem that some dodgy shit happened while they were fending for themselves, and we're going to find out what that is as the show goes on.
Mm-hmm.
But like I say, it's not reinventing the wheel, but it's a really, really efficient thriller. Might have some kind of horror elements to it. It's still a little bit unclear at this stage. But one of the other really great things about it is a stunning cast. So the adult versions of the characters are played by New Zealand's Melanie Lynskey, Juliet Lewis, and Christina Ricci among the grown-ups.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some really awesome acting power on display. And the casting of the younger versions is really spot on, not so much in terms of necessarily being like dead ringer lookalikes for the older actors, but just having the same screen energy in a way that's you can kind of get away with, like, maybe the genetics are slightly different.
But
that's it just
cool.
Really does feel like the same person. So well done. And for music people, and because it's the FM, we're all music people, it really winds me up when soundtracks to period things are either a little bit off,
mm-hmm.
or it's like, no one was really listening to that then. That took a while to percolate through,
yeah.
Or certainly no Stranger Things, get stuffed. This is nonsense. No one was watching that or listening to that. But here, as a teenager in that period, it's like, yes, I was listening to these songs. This is a soundtrack of bangers, but we were listening to those bangers correctly.
Nice. Now, I watched the trailer for this, and I got a bit of a kind of a live, you know, people crashing their plane and resorting to cannibalism.
Yeah, there's definitely some, early in the show, there's some intimations towards cannibalism.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's sort of unclear exactly how grody it's going to get, but actually the show is kind of grody. It leans into little moments of violence and gore, maybe when you sort of don't expect it. Like, there's an injury that happens on the training field, which is a little bit more graphic than just someone holding their ankle, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the plane crash and its aftermath show on in fairly unflinching terms. The pilot episode is directed by Karen Kusama, who there's a film of hers that was on Netflix, Yonks, called The Invitation, which is a personal favourite of mine, about a dinner party that kind of turns quite grim. She also made a film called Destroyer with Nicole Kidman as a real messed up cop. So it's while the show does predominantly or largely feature teenagers, it's not all light and fluffy. I'm really looking forward to seeing what happens with us over the 10 episodes of this first season.
Cool.
Yeah, Alive vibes, maybe a bit of Lost vibes as well. I think between having a plane crash and having a mystery and having these, sort of two timelines operating in tandem, it's definitely reminiscent of that. Mm. Hopefully there will be, they might play on that, but hopefully they also kind of know what not to do accordingly. Other stuff I've been watching, I really relished the chance to catch up on the Marvel film Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings on the weekend. We kind of got robbed of the chance to see this in the theatres, and as I watched this on Saturday night on the couch, I kind of felt how nice it was to be watching a Marvel movie at home for the first time. It's quite comfy, the couch. And so not only sort of catching up on something that I'd missed, but watching it in a non-cinema environment actually sounded quite pleasant. Having grown a little bit bored of the formula, the formula of these films, I guess.
You're ready for it after being deprived of the actual theatre for so long?
A little bit. And what made this particularly good viewing is because it's exploring a Chinese lead character and pretty much a supporting cast entirely cast out of Asian superstars, and exploring Asian culture and legacy and combat styles. It's just got a bit of a different flavour. It's energetic, it's fun, and it definitely, when I go back to the description of Marvel movies that I stole off Twitter, that there are two kinds of Marvel movies, the cool ones to get stoned to and the hat ones. this one is definitely more in the first category than the second category, which is good.
Nice. And as a movie man, any inside word on when the cinemas will be open again, Steve?
Only what I saw today, and this bodes well. So I haven't quite gotten clarification on how the traffic light system, the COVID protection framework, will apply to films, but I am I'm confidently speculating that under red we will be able to go to see films at a reduced capacity. Now, if that happens and we enter that COVID protection framework on or before the 2nd of December, then we will get to see Dune.
Yes.
ASAP. And I also see, speaking of Marvel, that they have dated Eternals, which is the Chloe Zhao directed most recent film. That has played elsewhere in New Zealand, but I see they've got some dates have gone up for Auckland, Hamilton, and Northland. So some people are feeling confident.
Will there perhaps be a bottleneck of films which have been released throughout the country that Auckland might get a sort of short run in the cinema for?
Yeah, I think so. And I think just looking at the release schedule for December, there are a number of kind of big films dated the way they are for international reasons, but I think there's also a lot of scope there to see a lot of stuff get added rapidly to get some screenings in before the end of the year. One really pleasant thing, having missed out on the New Zealand International Film Festival, obviously, is the announcement of a new kind of mini-fest called In the Shade, which will run in January of next year.
Yeah,
that's going to be at the Hollywood Avondale and at Academy Cinemas. And it's going to have a smattering of films from the International Film Festival that we didn't get to see, as well as some other new titles. So I quite like the way they pitched this. It's sort of pitched as go do your summer stuff during the day and then come and take a load off with some air conditioning and watch a movie in January.
Steve, have you seen the new Bond film, Text from a...
No, I haven't seen that. So that's kind of that's still kicking around. So I expect we'll see that kind of slotted into the schedule, as soon as it's humanly possible for those dates to be confidently made. It's no secret that I work for flicks.co.nz, but I will say that while I go through the course of my work every day, I do check in on Dune every couple of times a day just to see if any sessions have gone up.
Yes. There's also new Wes Anderson on the way,
mate. Keeping you posted hard on that. Sorry, what was that, John?
New Wes Anderson as well on the cards?
Yeah, that's pretty close. Mm-hmm. That is that's dated for the 9th of December. The new Spider-Man film, that just got a new trailer today, that's the 16th of December. So I think those are the titles that maybe some of those things we've missed will slot around. It's going to be busy. I mean, it's going to put something to the test in terms of sort of how much movie going people are keen to do.
Yes.
Especially in summer. But I think the main thing is like getting the chance to see stuff and not having that decision being made for you by either a studio or by good old asshole COVID will be nice.
Totally.
Bring it on, I say.
All right, Steve, thank you very much. We'll check in with you next week, brother.
Awesome, man. Talk then.
Bye. Real auteurs use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95BFM.